On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, we look back on the shootout loss against the Avs, preview our next two games, and take a look at the Bolts' newest Stanley Cup ring. Stay tuned. Season 3, Episode 7 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson, Chase Kroshaw with me. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. We had Scorigami today.
We did have Scorigami, the Texans-Cardinals game, yeah?
Yeah, but I'm doing all right overall. Hanging in, our Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, can't really say the same. They're not doing all right overall. Mm-hmm. But it's early in the year. We'll talk about it a little more as the show goes on. But how are you doing?
Fantastic. Anyone who's been listening to our Monday shows, they know that I'm a Bengals guy. They happen to have a big win today. Plant themselves solely in first place of the AFC North and then plant themselves first, tied for first in the AFC overall. Couldn't be better right now, honestly.
Yeah, I'm the one that keeps picking the Bengals on our other show, too. I'm the only believer in the Bengals, obviously. So.
Yeah, and Dan Campbell, I feel like, as you're a Lions fan, they now move to 0-7 against the Rams. Yeah, really competitive game, unlike their last one against the Bengals. So maybe the Bengals are just the best team in the league. But I feel like Dan Campbell might just, like, completely crumble here soon. Like, he puts out so much emotion that...
He's a therapist.
It's gonna bite him in the ass at some point.
He needs someone to talk to, air it out, because he just lets it all out on the field. And, yeah, it's... He probably can't even, like, drive home. He has to get, like, someone to chauffeur him home because he just has no more energy to walk. He has to get carried in, dropped on his couch, wakes up the next morning.
Yeah, for real. And shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had a humongous win against the Bears. And not that the Bears are, like, humongous competition or anything, but they just blew them out. Tom Brady looked excellent. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, huge pieces to my fantasy possible results this week, so I'm happy about that.
Can't forget to mention Tom Brady's 600th career passing touchdown plus two more afterwards. The guy's okay at football. He set a couple records, and you know what else there's even to say about him at this point.
Did you see that Mike Evans gave the
gave the ball away to that fan right in the front row?
Yeah, so they had to give him a different game ball and a signed jersey just to get the ball back.
Yeah, which that's cool. Yeah, the guy didn't even fight trying to give it back. The guy just gave it back right away, and then they gave him those things anyway. So, like, that's cool.
I was listening to, I think it was a commentary team or something. I don't know. Someone was saying, that's an absolute ripoff that you got to give him that much. I'm like, why?
It's not a big deal. They're choosing to do it to him. He didn't say, give me this, or I pop the ball and throw it in the garbage. They're like, apparently the guy went up to him and said, Mr. Brady would really like that ball. Could you give it to him? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, for sure. And then hands it to him. No problem. Like, yeah, of course they're going to reward him with something. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And then after the game was over, Tom Brady, he stumbles across a young fan with a sign that said, Tom Brady helped me through brain cancer. And Tom Brady went up to him and gave the kid his hat, which was a really cool moment. The kid started, you know, bawling of just joy, which is such a great moment to see. You see it in hockey a lot of the times when players will throw pucks over the glass or their stick, even with Jack Hughes doing his recent celebration. But you love to see moments like that in sports.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's obviously these guys' professions. You know, they happen to be, you know, privileged enough to have the ability and the work ethic to be able to play the sport at the high level. And they, you know, a lot of guys feel obligated to give back. And just do little things like that. So, you know, we love to see it. It paints these guys in a better picture. You know, they're looked at as role models, and it's great when they act like it.
Absolutely. Well, anyways, this is a hockey show. If you're interested in hearing more football talk, you can check out our other show at WNP Sports Pod on Twitter. That link will be down in the description. You can check it out there. And on the Twitter, it will let you know where to find our show and everything like that. But this is the Bolts Broadcast. A lot about hockey, especially the Tampa Bay Lightning. First big news is Alex Barrie-Boulet. He's coming back after we lost him on waivers. We kept an eye on his situation. We said, hey, this could be a possible scenario. Turns out to happen.
Yeah, he spends 11 days in Seattle, long enough to go on their first road trip with them, but not long enough to play in their first, you know, home game in the regular season. So he makes his way back to Tampa, and we're happy for that. There, you know, there should be opportunities for him down the stretch, especially with Kucherov out, to get in the lineup, possibly see some, you know, opportunity. But now that we reclaimed the back, he can go up and down without any concern for, I think it's 30 days. Yeah, but it's something that, you know, we thought was possible. And if he was going to go on waivers, it was obvious they were going to claim him back. They had for his priority when they did that, because they're a team that lost him. So it all worked out well enough. He was able to get some NHL games somewhere else. Now he's back with us, and we're happy.
I kind of feel bad, though, because he's going to be shipped out here soon. We got him back just because he was going to be the big piece in the Jack Eichel trade.
Oh, yeah, of course, obviously. like that's clear.
But, hey, it's good to have him back, especially like Chase said, with Kucherov out. We're going to need him to step up. And hopefully he does make the NHL roster, and we're not, you know, sending him back down and everything. And
yeah, he's still with the team as of now, so we'll see what goes on. I'm sure he's going to get in a game here at some point coming up, but you know, we'll see a little more.
All right, Chase, next up, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They got their new rings for this most recent Stanley Cup. We had a picture of them side by side. Both rings look great.
Yeah, they do, but we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. You know, we're both kind of more fans of ring number two.
Yep.
So ring number one is awesome. You know, you get the Stanley Cup kind of thing in the background there. But the ring number two, just like, when a ring has like a white like base for like the, you know, like for the front face there, just like the white diamonds, it just looks so much cleaner for a championship ring. So I know we're both big fans of that. And I mean, they're obviously two incredible rings. The whole case that this new one came into, I don't know if you saw that or not. The box, like, would open up, and there was like a screen of highlights going on from their cup run and stuff in the box. Just, and then like the ring popped up in this crazy display. The thing was just incredible, super cool. I can't even imagine what it costs.
Oh, probably a bit, but
yeah,
maybe we'll know when they send us ours. Or
yeah, maybe.
Like, you think it's gonna be coming?
It's got to be in the mail. It has to be.
Okay. I agree. I like the new one better. The one thing that I do like about ring number one is the blue, the Tampa blue in the background of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
really like that. But when you look at the sides of the ring, when you've got your, you know, white base ring and what was the other one, like a gold base.
Yeah.
Like, it looks a little bit dirtier, like a little more dingy. So the new one just popped, and I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I would agree. Overall, it's a fine piece of jewelry that, you know, obviously our first one got lost in the mail. So yeah, when the second one shows up, we'll be happy to post ourselves wearing the pictures of them. Our pictures of us wearing them. I don't know if that was, I don't know if that
we're wearing a picture of them.
Yeah, the thing, yeah, that's what's going on. Just on my shirt, yeah. And I'm wearing just a picture of the ring.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we want to get a third ring in a row, but to do that, we have to start playing a little better hockey. We had one game that we have not talked about yet, and that was with the Avalanche, who they themselves were struggling. However, they were able to take this one in a shootout, a pretty long shootout too, with a lot of goals.
Yeah. Six rounds would have went. So, you know, it goes past the first three and went to sudden death. Cale Makar got the winner in the shootout. You know, the other guys scoring included Victor Hedman, Mikko Rantanen, Steven Stamkos, and Gabriel Landeskog. So, disappointing game. Obviously, you know, we want to win those types of games. It was a pretty hard fought effort, all around, well balanced game. You know, another game where we had proper opportunities though, didn't capitalize. You know, only three chances, no goals. It's too talented of a roster. We saw game one against Detroit that this power play should be lethal every time it steps on the ice. And you got to, you know, find ways to take advantage and get those opportunities. Even if it's only a couple, you got to find ways to put it in the net.
Yeah, and got to be more disciplined, too, giving up six power plays to the Avalanche. Luckily, they were only able to capitalize on one of them. But with a team that has that much firepower, you can't be taking that many penalties and giving them that many chances. Andre Vasilevsky, I thought he played solid. It wasn't, you know, the Andre Vasilevsky we all know and love, but at the same time, it was better than some of the performances we've seen him put on this past, or during this season.
Yep. He does have to be better. I mean, he started all five games, has, you know, a worse than three goals against, a below 900 save. He just really got to be better going down the stretch. But on the bright side, you know, someone that has been playing really well, our captain, Steven Stamkos, gets first start of the game yet again, this one, a goal and assist. He's really showing that, you know, he wants to be here long term. You know, our slight criticisms we had for him in the offseason, just based on his cap hit and what might be declining, you know, going down the road and stuff, He's really fighting against it. He's had a hell of a start to the year. You know, you can't knock the way the guy is playing, you know, through five games, four goals, five assists, 9 points. Hopefully he can keep up. Obviously not at that pace. It's not realistic. But if he can keep up, you know, at a point per game pace, that would be fantastic.
We've got two games to preview today. Monday night, we've got the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo. The Jack Eichel-less Sabres. But they've been pretty good. They started 3-0. They've dropped their last two, one being in overtime. Coming down to earth a little bit, but overall, they're still playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's big part and thanks to the goaltending. It's been unreal in Buffalo.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Because you don't think of Craig Anderson as...
40-year-old Craig Anderson and American League backup Dustin Tokarski are holding down really well. So, you know, more power to them. They're doing great. And they, you know, offensively, in those games that they did win, they were outplaying their teams. But even the losses, the goaltending played well. So, I got to imagine in this one, Brian Elliott gets a start for Tampa. I can't imagine Vasilevskiy goes. He got back-to-back games, 3 and 4 days. Vasilevskiy probably plays games 2 and 3 in this one as their Pittsburgh and Arizona could be viewed as, you know, maybe Pittsburgh's a little more important one, and then Vasilevskiy is just going to play the extra one. So I got to imagine Elliott starts here. I still think that Tampa should win this one easily, like regardless who plays. If it's a loss and it's not a very good-looking loss, there, you know, I don't want to say there's concerns, but at that point, you know, we got to start raising questions.
Yeah, and the top scorers right now for the Sabres, Okposo, Colin Miller, and Zemgus Girgensons. So just looking at the lineup that Buffalo is putting out there every single night, like, it does not compare to our lineup. Even if Brian Elliott's in net, this is a game that should be won. We'll see if it is. I don't think that, unless it's just like a brutal loss, but if it's just like a, you know, standard normal loss, it's not something to look too deep into just because without Kucherov and the team has just started off slow for some reason, I think we'll be okay, but really just hoping not for like a 7-3 loss or something.
Yeah, I mean, right now Tampa sits at 28th in the league with 4 goals against per game on average, you know, it's including empty netters and stuff too. So defensively, the goaltending, both things really got to step it up because Buffalo does have enough offensive power where they can score. And if the goalies keep playing hot, then, you know, it would end up being a closer game. It's not going to be a shootout. There's no chance Buffalo scores 7 goals and wins 7-3. There's just no chance that happens.
Let's move on to the next game. This is Tuesday night. We've got the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pittsburgh Penguins were the first game of the season and the first loss of the season. They are again without Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, but this team has found a way to continue to play really well. One thing that I noticed, Marcus Pedersen, their defenseman, he's got a plus 10 on the season already.
Yeah, dude, like, as a whole, they're playing really well. They're getting great goaltending, great defense. Tristan Jarry has been playing really well for the first time in his NHL career.
Right.
And Pedersen, he's got 4 points as well on top of that plus 10. He's been hanging in pretty well, been a pretty solid pickup for them. After last year, it was looking like, you know, maybe a little underwhelming guy to add, but now he's playing well to start the year. Kind of what you need to do when you don't have your top guys in the lineup. But this team's just, they're kind of getting it done collectively. Pretty much everybody on the team has found the score sheet in some way, shape, or form. If not, then you guys are, you know, winning and helping out in other ways. But they've been playing some good team hockey, and it's going to be a fairly tough opponent on Tuesday, that is.
Have you seen Tristan Jarry's pads?
I have not.
They're pretty cool. They're like the all blacked out with some accent and everything. So I did notice them, I think it was 2 days ago on Twitter. And so that is one thing I am actually excited to see, because you always love to see a good pair of goalie pads when you're versing a team.
I'd rather see Casey DeSmith in that and have him continue his
almost
5 goals against an .800 save percentage. That'd be better, in my opinion.
Yeah, but do you think Mike Sullivan's going to do that?
No.
He's a pretty good coach. Well, isn't he the most winning American coach of all time? Is that what it is?
That doesn't feel right. I don't know. Maybe let's find this out. Let's find this out right here, right now. Winningest coaches in hockey born in USA. Let's see what we can get. Where is our producer that can just look this up for us full time?
I think he's overtaken. Who was it? Dan Bylsma and Penguins wins.
So do. Um, Mike Sullivan's still pretty far down this. Mike Sullivan is even above John Cooper.
Oh, okay.
I want to say that Peter Laviolette is the highest active American. I think he's American. Maybe the highest American in general for wins. At 676. Mike Sullivan comes in at 324. John Cooper comes in at 385.
Okay. There we go.
So still got some work to do.
It's going to be two good head coaches going up against each other. So it's going to be fun.
Ours better.
All right. Let's go to a quick commercial break. On the other side of the commercial break, we want to look at the stats and standings of the league so far. We're going to be talking about Seattle. Talk about a fine over in Anaheim. And yeah, we'll do all that. But first, we're going to go to a quick word from our friends, DraftKings. NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't yet available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we're back. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. If you're doing any betting this time of the year, make sure to go over to DraftKings for that. All right, Chase. Stats and standings. What do we want to start with first?
Let's start with the standings.
Okay, let's do it. When we look at the East, specifically the Metro, you've got the Rangers sitting atop with Carolina coming in close second. Carolina hasn't dropped a game yet. However, the Rangers have the games played advantage. So they've dropped two, one being in overtime. But because they played more games, they have more points.
Yeah, and you know, so, shocker, didn't I have the Rangers my number one team or something like that?
No, you had them as your number two team.
Who was number one?
The Isles. And then
The Isles are throwing the year on purpose.
And then I do remember you texted me, or maybe it was after the show.
Yeah.
You were like, never mind, put the Rangers at six. I forgot they traded Buchnevich.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the trade because of how stupid it was. I blocked that out of my memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I haven't really watched them, so I just can only imagine they're playing semi-well to start the year. They've got enough roster, like, or talented roster pieces in place. It's just got all kind of coming together, so, you know, it's not too surprising that they can start hot. Let's see what they can continue, though.
All right, we look over to the Atlantic. Little brother Florida sitting at the top. Five games played, five wins.
Yeah, they've been playing well. Can't knock them. 22 goals for, 9 goals against, playing great all around. The bubble's going to burst at some point. They're going to start losing a couple and have some bad streaks. It's just the way hockey goes. Things are kind of going to regress to the mean. Tampa's not a sixth-place team. Like, let's be real. Right now, they're sixth in the division, and that is not going to stay that way. They're going to find their way back up in that top three range, and Buffalo is sure as hell not staying in the top two.
When you're looking at the East outside of Buffalo, is there any other surprises that you see? Obviously, the Islanders starting off a little bit slow, but maybe the Devils only dropping one game so far. Any surprise?
Yeah, Devils have played solid. We're going to mention Nico Dawes later on in the show. I'll just talk briefly about him, kind of crazy stuff. But he got his first NHL win for the Devils the other day. Played pretty well. They're playing well. Good for them. I would think that the Penguins would have struggled a little more without Crosby and Malkin, but, you know, no regulation losses. It's a pretty good sign to start the year.
All right, moving on over to the West. We'll start with the Centro. You've got two teams currently sitting at 4-0, St. Louis and Minnesota. They're battling for it. However, St. Louis, they performed a little bit better than Minnesota, having a plus 11 goal differential compared to Minnesota's only plus 4.
Yeah, both have 11 goals against, 22 goals for St. Louis, 15 for Minnesota. But all I know is it's Minnesota's year. They're going 82-0, winning the cup.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I have them making the playoffs. I hope they do. I think there's enough pieces in play, and Evason seems like a pretty solid coach. So it could happen, you know, that they started off well to the year. They're playing close games, of course. But, you know, we'll see what happens as they get into the thick of it a little more.
And then moving to the Pacific, surprise, surprise, but the Edmonton Oilers sitting at the top, 5-0. An actual surprise is that San Jose, they're right behind at 4-1.
Yeah, this division's just not good right now. Like, let's be real. San Jose starting off hot, that's going to burst. That's not staying that way. Vegas is last place in the division. They have 4 games played, 1 win, 3 losses, only 2 points. Even Seattle's above them with only 1 win. It's not been a very good start for that division. Has been very funky where, you know, I think 2 of the playoff teams are the bottom 2 teams right now. Edmonton, not too surprising that they can, you know, win 5 games when you've got the best player in the world producing at like a 3-point-per-game pace.
Yeah, Leon Draisaitl's really good.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, you know, it's a little weird in that division, but like it's not like incredibly surprising that the Oilers are playing well. It's not too surprising that the Canucks are where they are, just kind of very average, and then the rest of the division is disappointing.
Yeah, Vegas currently tied for 30th when it comes to goals for. So that's one category they're definitely going to have to work on. And Vegas, one of those teams that has been rumored to be in talks for Jack Eichel.
Yeah, you know, obviously we're going to see what happens on that front. If anything ever happens, they're going to improve. They're going to be a better team than this. Like, they're not going to stay that way. Like, they're just too talented too. But a team that is going to stay down the slow, the Arizona Coyotes are just so bad at hockey, dude. They're so bad. Like, the Montreal Canadiens have been horrible this year, too. Chicago Blackhawks have been struggling. But the Arizona Coyotes are very clearly showing their cards that they are the worst team in the league.
And they have the worst goals for. And if I'm not mistaken, the worst goals against as well.
They do.
So, I have not watched any of their games.
Oh, don't. I lied. Do.
I've seen some highlights. It's bad.
It was like Buffalo last year when they'd have like 4 guys chasing in the corner. Yeah. And they just leave 3 people wide open in front of the net. It's the same type of thing happening.
I feel bad for Sporty over there with Corey and Richie. I don't know how they're feeling, but it's probably not going well.
Yeah, no, I can't think it would go well. I can't imagine what it's like having to do a podcast on such a terrible hockey team.
I think they're wine people. So it might,
they are big time wine
people. Might be a lot of wine nights. Yeah. And then I guess the last surprise for me is you mentioned them quickly, Chicago. I thought they'd be more competitive. They made some moves in the offseason that showed me that they wanted to be competitive. They wanted to be in that playoff race. Right now, they're not close.
No, they're struggling a little bit, but the only one where I think they're going to get a little bit better down the road. You know, Kane is out against the Wings today because he's on the COVID, like, you know, exemption list, whatever it is. So they've just had some kind of, you know, bad string of luck. I'm sure it'll round out on the road.
Moving on over to statistics. Surprise, surprise. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, both at the top of the league. McDavid, 13 points. Draisaitl, 11 points. Both of those being through 5 games.
Yeah, that, you know, that is just what I would call decent. If that's what you want to use. Connor McDavid's got 6 goals to add to those 13 points. So 6 goals, 7 assists. I mean, if there were a year for Connor McDavid to win the Rocket Richard and win the Art Ross and also lead in scoring by 60 points, like, it would be this year. He looks like he has the ability to do it. It all looks like it could happen. He really is showing he's on a different level than everybody else. He's going to finish healthy above 100 points. Like, that's a lock. Like, it's just what's going to happen. It's what he does. But could he finish 140, 150? I don't want to say it's impossible.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's really not impossible. That's a lot of points. Like, he could be legitimately close to 2 points per game at the end of the year.
Like, last year, obviously playing in the North Division, I thought, you know, it's because they're playing Canadian teams. I knew that him and Draisaitl were phenomenal. I knew that Austin Matthews was a great goal scorer, but the division overall in that Canadian North Division wasn't great. So I figured they had a little bit of a boost to their statistics because of that. Well, now they're coming out firing just as well, if not even better. But again, only through 5 games, there's going to be games where they don't score. But I don't see a way where they're not scoring at least like 120 points, both Draisaitl and McDavid.
Yeah, healthy, it's for sure going to happen. And it's just funny when you go to the NHL's stat page, you sort by points, McDavid's number one. Sort by goals, McDavid's number one. Sort by assists, McDavid's number one. So he's tied for first in all those categories.
Well, not tied for first.
Well, yeah, points, he's solely in first for points with the other two.
Yeah. One of the guys who is tied for first in goals was a guy that you said could be a sleeper Rocket Richard candidate, that being Kyle Connor.
Yeah, dude, he's legit. I'm telling you, I've seldomly seen anybody with a better shot than this kid. Like, he safely would have a top 10 shot in the NHL. Might be better than that. He just knows how to shoot the puck, knows how to find the back of the net. Dude's a freaking hockey player.
And then Alex Ovechkin, he's sitting with 5 goals. That would be what, tied for 5th?
Yes, sir.
Because there's 4 people in first. So he's playing well, 5 goals through 5 games. I'd love for him to keep that pace because that would just get him the record even sooner. Don't think that's going to happen, but it's great to see him playing well. Points per game, he's sitting at 2. You love to see it. I got to ask, with McDavid and Draisaitl being at the top, who are your top 3 players? Is Draisaitl number 2, or do you have like a McKinnon or something, or an Austin Matthews?
Just like in the league, top 3 players in the world in general?
Yeah.
It goes McDavid, McKinnon, and then probably Austin Matthews. Like Draisaitl's got to be my number 4 on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard not to put him in the top 3, but I mean, if I'm thinking of guys I just want to build around, McDavid's my first choice, McKinnon's my second choice, and Matthews is my third choice.
And I feel, and I think everyone's talked about it, the whole world, NHL Network, ESPN, everything like that. But Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl is like the Crosby Malkin situation. And again, it feels like McDavid, he gets all the praise, gets all the love, where I feel like some people do undervalue Leon Draisaitl a little bit right now. Maybe they're not seeing him as a top 5 player in the world like he definitely is.
He for sure is undervalued. It's the same exact thing as Malkin. He gets love for being a good player, but people are like, oh, he gets inflated from McDavid, which he probably does in all fairness, but it doesn't mean that he's not a ridiculous player who is clearly better than pretty much anybody he's ever on the ice with. Like, it's just flat out true. Like, he's clearly a top 10 player, almost guaranteed top 5 player.
And I love to see that it's from a kid out of Germany. It's just going to spark more, you know, fandom across the nations and everything like that. It'll be fun.
100%.
It'll be good for the game. All right, let's now move over to the Seattle Kraken. They've got some big news as they retire number 32, making 99 and 32 the only numbers retired for Seattle. I'm going to be honest, I don't like the move.
Minnesota did this when they retired number 1 in their first game. It was like, you guys are the number 1 fans in the league. This is great. It's terrible. Stupid. It's just like, not that 32 is an unreal number. It's just still just a waste. Like, it's a number that could be worn by some backup goalie, but instead, now it's going to be worn by nobody.
Who knows? Like, 10 years down the line, they just take a goalie first overall because he's that type of talent, and he only wears 32.
And he holds out because he can't wear 32.
Yes.
That'd be funny.
I would love it. But, like, come on. That's just stupid. Why are you retiring a number like that? Next up, Anaheim, Ryan Getzlaf. He gets fined $1,000. He had a pretty dangerous trip.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I forgot to watch the video. I didn't see it happen. I just read about it. I was like, oh, that's weird. Let's talk about it real quick. And I wasn't going to watch the video, and it never happened, but I would have to guess it was probably some sort of slew foot, table-topping type thing. You know, he's not, like, a dangerous player in his career. He plays with a bit of an edge, so it's not too surprising that he could do something like this, but he's not, like, some dirty, you know, player that deserves, like, oh, bring the hammer down on him for doing some garbage. You know, it happened. I'll go back and watch a video whenever I remember, and, you know, we move on from there.
Absolutely. And it looks like it was on Joel Eric's neck.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's right. It was on Eric's neck.
Do we know if he's gotten injured or?
I have not seen anything about that.
Okay. Well, hopefully not. Let's now move on to Nico Daws and his story with the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, so if anyone doesn't know, Nico Daws, you might remember him from Team Canada 2 World Juniors ago. He was a goalie that helped them win gold, played really well. You know, I think we talked about it in the very first season of the Bulls broadcast. He, in the summer, called Team Germany and said, hey, do you guys need a goalie? Because he was born in Germany. It's where his dad played pro hockey when he was born. So he says, hey, do you guys need a goalie? I'm looking to do it. And they told him, nope, we're good.
I do remember this. Him.
Yeah. And then goes and starts for Team Canada, wins them gold. Ends up being a draft pick. He was a re-entry pick. You know, those are great stories. He gets called up because they need him to play because they don't have a goalie. And he gets his first NHL win, plays incredibly well. I believe he had a sub one goals against and a high 900 save percentage, only letting it go, obviously. Played really good, dude. Kind of a cool story, you know, to think that you weren't drafted your first time around. You get denied by Team Germany, and then all of a sudden you are just backstopping Team Canada. You're in the NHL a couple years later as a 21-year-old. You know, guys living the dream.
Kind of reminds me of the D'Ernest Johnson situation with the AAF sending messages out and seeing if he could play there. Got no answers. And a lot of people were like, he should message him now and say, never mind, I'm good. Same with Nico Dawes. He should call the coach that caught him and be like, or said no interest or whatever. And be like, hey, how you doing?
That'd be hilarious. That'd be awesome.
I mean, he probably could have done that after he won gold with Canada.
Yeah.
Now it's even better because he's at the highest level of the game playing well. So a great story there, but that's going to do it for the show. We're going to head to hockey name of the day. All right. We got Fergalicious here.
Nope.
No, we're going to call him Fergalicious. I'm going to go Yuli Ferg. Yuli. No, you're going to be like, it's actually Yuli Ferg.
It's actually Uli.
Yeah. Yuli.
Uli Ferg. Uli Ferg.
Yeah, exactly what I said.
So Uli Fergalicious is a Swiss-born defenseman. He was born in 1956 and played mostly in the second-level Swiss league, a little bit lower down to. So he played from 1979 to 1989. They didn't track any of his numbers back then. So I got nothing about him.
It's too bad that Fergie wasn't around then and her song Fergalicious. Because could you imagine that walkout song for him or that goal song for him?
In the 1980s, have his goal song.
I'm Fergalicious.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
Great name, though. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Why don't you do your thing that you always do?
I can do that. As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Patreon, support us there. We'd really appreciate it. Nothing required, just a way to get some more content from us. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast. That's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. Then we get all the content you need between the three podcast platforms there. Go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network. Boom. Click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. We've got some blogs if you want to read those as well. Wherever you're listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We'd really appreciate it. Whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.